Okay, hello everyone. Once again, thank you for joining us for the session. My name is Claudia Moriano. I'm one of the stakeholder relations advisors with the ISO, and I will go through a couple of housekeeping items before we get started this morning. Next slide, please, Mark. So please be notified that the session is being recorded in accordance with the Freedom of Information and Protection of Privacy Act, FOIP. Should you have any questions or concerns regarding any of the information recorded, please contact the Director of Information and Governance Services at the address listed on this slide. Next slide, please, Mark. So as you know, we are using Zoom. I'm sure most of you are familiar with how to use this app, but just in case some are not, all attendees have joined the webinar in listen-only mode, and the host, which is myself and Mark, will have attendees' cameras disabled and microphones muted. To ask a question in the webinar using your computer or smartphone, please click raise hand. And if you would like to practice, you can go ahead and raise your hand now to make sure it works. Thank you, Mike. Thanks, Jacqueline. Perfect. You will then be prompted to unmute your microphone after we unmute you. If you are asking a question via conference call, please hit *9 and we will unmute you. You will then again be prompted to unmute yourself, and you can do this by hitting *6. I don't see any conference call joining right now, but there might be some in the future. Please, when asking or typing in your question, make sure you state the organization you work for and your first and last names to help us keep track of everyone. Next slide, please, Mark. So in January 2020, the ISO rolled out our stakeholder engagement framework. This framework sets out the ISO's principles-based approach to our formal engagement with stakeholders and the important role it plays in how we deliver our mandate. Our engagement principles, as seen on this slide, are inclusive and accessible, strategic and coordinated, transparent and timely, customized and meaningful. Next slide, Mark. We are now on *5. So we would like to have a meaningful and productive session. So please listen to understand each other's perspectives, disagree respectfully, balance airtime fairly, and keep an open mind. Our facilitator, Mark, will also assist with this. With that being said, I will now turn it over to him for further introductions. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Claudia. And again, welcome everybody to our first Market Tools User Group session. This is a new initiative that the ASO is launching to actively incorporate the needs of all of our users into the evolution of all of our market tools. Essentially, ASO is successful if all of our participants are successful, and if all of you are successful, that means Alberta maintains a vibrant and healthy energy market, which benefits all Albertans. So there's simply no reason to not include you all in this process. Our main goals here today are for the user group in general, as we intend this to be an ongoing initiative. We want to champion transparency in this, to we share the upcoming developments and long-term plans with all of the user base. We want to achieve a greater understanding of how all of you are using and applying these tools so that we can evolve these tools that they better enable your process efficiency and also give you an opportunity to communicate back to us how your businesses are evolving so that we have an opportunity for the tools to rise to meet you as you change, as opposed to rush to catch up after you're already in the throes of it. And of course, lastly, but not leastly, collaboration, you know, making users part of the evolution of software tools, engaging the user base through regular feedback and having technical focus groups for those who want to deep dive into how the software works. Those are all valuable ways to explore new developments and new processes. So this session here today is intended to start the conversation. We want to present our current plans to all of you and give you an off forum, in which case you can raise any of the burning issues or concerns that have been on your minds recently. In addition to having copious amounts of Q&A today, the survey that's posted on the website right now, and we'll mention again at the end, will give you all a chance to give us some specific targeted feedback, as well as some free text areas to just, you know, digest what's gone on today. And if you need a longer form to send any feedback to us, you can use it through that form. I'm joined here today. I've got Murray Miller, the Director of Operation Systems, who's going to deliver our keynote after Dennis Frelich, the Vice President of Grid Reliability, delivers a welcome message to all of you. Then we're going to get into the two roadmap sessions we have. Peter Barr, our Director of Core Business Solutions, will deliver the roadmap for the market tools. We'll then have a small break so everybody can get up and stretch, refill your water bottle, whatever you need to do. And Stephen Everett afterwards, our Manager of Market Analytics, will present on our data interfaces roadmap. After that, I'll give a quick update on how we intend to carry this forward through the rest of the year and into 2022. And then we'll just have an open Q&A session for anything that's occurred to anyone over the course of the previous slides. All of our presenters are happy to entertain your questions during the presentation. We'll give little pauses at the end of each slide if anybody has anything to come up. So feel free to raise your hand or type something into the Q&A box as it occurs to you rather than having to wait to the end. We'd rather that you got those ideas out as they come to you than wait till the end and possibly forget something important too. So as of September 14th, we had a very diverse group of participants who've joined us here today. We're all very excited that we had so much interest in this. And on that note, I'm going to hand this over to Dennis Frelich for our welcome message.
Thanks, Mark. I just wanted to take a minute or two just to welcome everybody and thanks for taking the time out of your busy day to join us. Obviously, this is about making things easier for you as market participants, and I'm going to hopefully you understand that we're committed to doing that. We've made some changes and progress in 2020 and 2021 to improve your interface and some of the systems and impacts to you as market participants. And so we're committed to seeing and listening and hearing where we can make improvements going forward. Murray Mueller, he is as Mark mentioned, he's our Director of Operations Systems. He's got accountability for us as an ISO for this user group and for the grid and market systems and the evolution of those for us as an ISO. And so he'll take the actions necessary through the feedback from this user group and incorporate what we can into our investment approach and our investment cycle for improvements. You'll see based on the people that are here today that this is a cross-functional engagement from an ISO perspective. We've got the grid reliability team led by Murray on this with support from Peter Barr and the IT group, which is obviously foundational to make any improvements. And we also got Steve Everett here, who's got lead on the market side for both forecasting, but also data access and data interface. So this is about us improving and making things a little easier for you as market participants. I encourage you to share all your thoughts and perspectives. We'll definitely listen to that and incorporate feedback on the actions we're taking based on your suggestion. So I'm going to turn it over to Murray and the team. I just wanted to welcome you and let you know that we're committed to driving improvements here. And Murray's got the can on this one. So over to Murray, and I'm going to drop off for the rest of the session. I'm going to leave it in Murray's capable hands. So.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate that. And welcome everyone to our first user group. And we're looking to have a good start to this one and hopefully just increase the desire to have this collaboration between the ISO and our participants. So again, thank you for attending, taking your time. Thank you, Dennis. And we'll get started. So next slide here. Okay. Again, any questions, comments, concerns, raise your hand like Claudia and Mark were saying at the beginning. But it really comes down to why we want a user group. And when we're looking at the three areas, as you can see between ISO and you folks, that operational efficiency, data security, and of course, call it what you want, but that streamlined interaction, I know for me personally, that's what I'm looking for. But we're hoping to get other inputs and just growing this interaction. So before we get like into the why here, a little bit about my background and accountabilities that Dennis mentioned. I've been at the ISO here for a number of years. I came in as a system controller, moved through the management into the director of these grid and market systems for the ISO, including EMS, the dispatch tool, ATOMS, ETS, and a few others under there. So, you know, to better understand your requirements, establishing this user group will provide us the mechanism to grow these tools, which are at the core of that real-time operational, the real-time operation of the market. So the ISO is committed to delivering a longer-term sustainable investment plan, supporting, of course, system reliability, the energy and ancillary service markets. And of course, the big technology integration across the entire electricity value chain. And as Dennis was alluding to a little bit, my accountabilities are for the user group, but also for ensuring that these tools are enabling that function of the grid and market operations. So we work very closely with IT and markets, and we want to bring that fourth piece into it, which is the market participants. So to bring the clarity to the value of the investment we're making, we really want to increase our focus on some of the business drivers. And the key core difference here is we want that input from industry, from the external perspective. We are at the cusp of, a major change in our industry in terms of, you know, looking past the distribution or into the distribution world, right across the entire value chain. As we all know, the technology is coming at us faster than we can keep up. And once we understand the value of it, we can start investing systematically, and we'll get into that here in the next slide. But before we do that, I just want to pause a little bit and ensure that we're all understanding why ISO wants to have this user group. So if there's no questions, and I don't see any hands on my display here, so we'll move on here, Mark. Slide, next slide, please. Oh, there we go. Okay, so the goals, really, I'm not going to read out the slide, of course, but, you know, that the goals really for this 2021 user group is, you know, we want to share our plans for that, those data interfaces, and Stephen and Peter will kind of get into a little bit of that as we go on. We want to discuss those data interfaces with you, the user. I mean, there's nothing like that feedback from the folks using it. We always used to say the tools shouldn't be the part and systems shouldn't be the get in the way of the decision making. They should aid in it. So we want to really incorporate your guys's feedback into our investment decision making and be deliberate in that investment approach. We're looking at the next 5 years, next rolling 5-year window from a sustain, enhance, and explore perspective. And just pausing a little bit on that, we're looking for instance, we sustain the underpinning apps and databases and servers. We know there's a life cycle in there. We know we have to change things due to the market, like renewable penetration. We need to allow for that in our systems from EMS to DT to the energy trading system. So those are known changes, what we call enhance. And we want to put some a small amount of money and a focus on exploring those technologies that are going to enhance that operational efficiency, streamline interaction, and of course, the big one, and it's my hope that we grow in the years to come around data security. I know it's called, I heard a phrase, it's not an IT's problem anymore, which I kind of poke fun at Peter, meaning it's not just IT's problem anymore. It has an impact on the reliability of the grid and the reliability of our markets. So we're looking at that from a holistic point of view for our organization. And I think our industry as well is going to have to focus not just on that technological change, but the security concerns coming going along with it. So in each one of these streams, we want to be deliberate about it. The cost benefit analysis or approach to each stream is a little bit different in the decision making. So we want to be deliberate about that in the decision making and realize that there is different criteria that go into each. And of course, we want to have that maximum value at the lowest possible cost. And as I always say to my executives, it's not the lowest possible cost, it's the maximum value at the lowest possible cost. So there is a big difference. Okay, thank you, Mark. And of course, what we want, really, we want, it's easy to say that communication, but we want you folks to go away with a little bit of understanding in our investment approach. And of course, the big thing for us, we have, I think, 60 people on the call, which is fantastic. So that feedback, now's the time. And it's, you know, my hope that we maybe come through this for some planning suggestions for next year. I know myself, I'm looking for a market rep for next year's planning, not just to cause Mark a little bit of more grief, but I think having an external view on this user group, an external voice in the planning is going to be all important for the success going forward. And that's, again, to make sure that we can go deep dive and be deliberate about the things and issues we want to bring forward in the user group. Okay, so moving on, I think, but before we do that, I just want to check if there's any questions, and I'd be happy to answer any time, any place. Like Dennis said, I'm accountable here, but by no means does it mean me alone. We have a huge amount of people who are working in the background on a lot of these initiatives, and we're going to move it forward to Peter Barr here, and I believe it's slide 15. There we go. And if there's no questions, I'll hand it over to Peter. Thank you.
Thanks, Murray. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to walk through our market tools roadmap. I'm going to provide you a little bit of background on our market systems, what our vision objectives are, and talk about the approach that we use for determining kind of what initiatives we actually implement into our market tools, and then show a little bit of a list of what we've been working on this year, what's underway currently, what's been completed, and talk a little bit about the longer term. So this is meant to be an introductory into our market tools roadmap, but as Marie and Dennis were talking about, we're really looking to incorporate you into this process as we define our roadmap. So can we go to the next slide, please? Slide 16 is where we're on. So a little bit of background. Our market tools have evolved over time at the ISO. Many of them have been internally developed. We've taken a look over time how we should continue to evolve these systems. And currently, when we take a look at our current state, the systems are quite stable. They're working as intended. There's no major market changes on the horizon at this time. There's also doesn't seem to need or need to be any major functional changes in response to the evolving industry. So at this time, things are fairly stable. This will likely change in the future in the next few years. But at this point, I think this is what's driving what we're planning to do this year and next year. And that is to maximize the value at the lowest cost, focusing on sustaining our existing market tools and improving the market participant experience. And so that improvement to the market participant experience is going to be through incremental enhancements to existing systems for at least the near term. Thank you. We're on slide 17. So our objectives are to improve experience for the participants. We're hoping to do this through continuing to ensure there is the stability of service, that the systems are there to support the market on a daily basis, that we provide enhanced efficiencies, optionality. And you'll see through this whole presentation, this constant theme of providing access to information and to data. And you'll hear a lot more about that. When we talk about our market systems, there's really three main business functions that they provide. First of all, there's the dispatch function, and that we call it the automated dispatch messaging system, which is quite long. So we use the short form ADAMS whenever we talk about dispatching. The second business function is trading. This is the trading of electricity, or energy, but it's also a core system for the participants to access information. That's called the Energy Trading System, ETS. And the third business function is information. And this is the exchange of information, us receiving information from you, you receiving information from us. Typically, this is data, but could be documents as well. A lot of this is done through the user interfaces of our systems, mainly ETFs, through published reports in these systems. And we understand a number of participants use screen scraping to programmatically ingest the information data into their systems. At our high level, that's kind of what we're talking about when we talk about the market systems. There are a few other ones that are involved as well, but these are kind of the core business functions. I'm going to pause for a second to see if there's any questions at this point. All right. Maybe we could go to the next slide, please. When we take a look at our roadmap, we do have a process that we go through when we try to determine what initiatives we're going to include in our future roadmap. The shorter term roadmap is more detailed and further out or is more higher level, of course, but this diagram is meant to represent the process that we go through. On the left-hand side, we take into account what are some of our corporate strategic objectives at a high level. These could be things like engaging participants more, a focus on cybersecurity. It could be some major market changes. We also have some principles that we try to follow. For example, innovate purposely. Right? We want to make sure that we're doing the changes that are delivering value. It's not at all cost. We want to leverage new technologies where we can, continue to evolve. These would be taking a look at things, for example, like cloud, if it makes sense, continuing to adopt agile delivery so that we can incorporate business feedback and adjust our course on a more proactive basis. And finally, we want to continue to strengthen the foundation. We want to ensure that we've got a robust system that can meet the future needs of the business. Next, we take a look at what are our drivers for change, and that's the middle part of the slide. And it starts, and we've depicted it as a circular process. It's not one time and done. We're constantly revising and taking a look and adjusting as we go. Upper right-hand corner, this is where we want to start incorporating your market participants' experience and input. We take a look, in addition to that, what are some of the business capabilities that are needed? Are there some new services that we're offering from the ISO? For example, fast frequency response. Is there new technologies coming online in the industry, such as storage, that need to be incorporated into the market systems? And while we're doing that, we're always taking a look to making sure that we're taking into account the cost benefits of any kind of change that we make. And we want to ensure continuing reliability and security of our systems, which is key, especially as in the world today. And the result is a number of initiatives, and I've listed some here, like improving market participant experience, that adoption of new technologies. Examples of that are simple things like new browsers that are being supported, but in here is also programmatic access to data through APIs to replace hopefully the screen scraping and so forth that's being used. And the information exchange is a key part of this that we want to focus on. I see that there's a question here. Mention a timeline of 5 years. Can you explain how this is reflected in the current ISO's multi-year business initiatives? Yeah, when we, like I mentioned, when you take a look at our timeline, when you look out 1 or 2 years, we have far more clarity and certainty, and there's definitely more detail. And when you take a look at our business plan for next year, we're actually determining what we think is going to be high-level initiatives for improving our market systems and our associated capital costs related to that. There's less certainty as we start to look out into more 3, 4, 5 years, but we do need to keep that in mind. And I don't know, I think currently on the business initiatives and what's being communicated as far as our business plan, we might not go out 5 years in some of those discussions, but we are keeping them in mind. Mary, did you want to also address the question?
Yeah, just to add a little bit from the business side, again, we have a key focus on grid and market reliability, of course, but we also want to, you know, increase that market participant enablement, customer service. And so when we're looking at the investment over the 5-year window, and it's a rolling 5-year window, we take in account our, capital planning for the next year and the following year. So where the, that's part of the process is, you know, doing a little bit more deeper dive, sharpening the pencil type of thing on some of those investments we're going to pull the trigger on in for next year in 2023. So it's all part of our business process to take those investment planning in that 1 to 3 year window and get it into our capital program. So I'll hand it back to Peter. Hopefully that answers most of the question.
Thanks, Murray. All right, let's go to slide 19. So here is a list of examples of initiatives which we've been working on. Some of them were worked on last year and completed this year, or we've completed them this year and starting, or some of them are still in progress. I'm not going to talk to all of them. We included them in here for people to be able to read them, but I'm going to talk about the top two. One of the initiatives that we did was to improve the availability of atoms. And what we've done is to make it so that there's less impact to the participants. And when the systems are being, when atoms is being upgraded, when we're migrating between our different data centers, it resulted in participants being logged out and then they had to log back in again. It resulted in some work for our system controllers. And so we've made it so that hopefully the participants are staying logged into ADAMS, even as we're making changes to the system or moving around between our data centers. And while we did that, we took the opportunity to implement some new technologies around microservices and what we call web services. And we're going to leverage those in the future to provide better access to the data through APIs, which Steve is going to talk more about in his presentation. The second one is we've started the implementation of the ISIL's digital experience for participants. And this is through our enterprise portal. And it is meant to be a central focus point, central point of access for public and participants to access data and documentation in the exchange of that data and documentation with the ISIL. And so we've done a few initial business cases. The first one was on DER, but that will be expanding over time, and we want to get your input, right, on how we progress on that. Any questions? No, could we go to slide 20, please? So when we take a look at our longer term evolution, I think we started to talk a bit about this when we were answering the question that we had received there, but we're taking a look at things like the evolution of the new generation technologies that are coming online, making sure that we can meet the needs in the market side for those new types of generation. We definitely, you're going to hear this over and over again, that increased access to data and exchange of data, mainly through the portal, will be what they will be using for doing that. We want to collaborate and hear from you. How are things working using the market tools? What would you like to see implemented for changes? What are you doing on your side as far as advancing your systems so that we have an understanding can progress together? And we're always trying to make sure that we're aligning to our evolving market. So as we implement new types of markets or new services like fast frequency response, new LSSI, how we're adjusting the tools to meet those. And we're trying to make sure that we're always keeping an eye on reliability, continuing to modernize and security while we do this. And so even though we say at this point that we're focused on enhancing our existing market systems, we need to make sure as those systems age that we continue to provide that business capability, meet the needs of the future, reliability, security. And so we are always keeping an eye further out, 3, 4, 5 years. Is there opportunities to move to other tools, either through re-engineering or through replacement of our existing systems? So that was my last slide. Is there any questions or comments on the market tools roadmap? All right. Thank you very much. Mark, I'll turn it back over to you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Peter. We're moving along pretty fast here, so I don't know that a break is needed just yet. So I think we'll move straight on to Steve Everett with the Data Interfaces Roadmap.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for attending this session. We're hoping we can get a lot of good value and feedback out of it. So I'm definitely glad you can make it. My name is Stephen Everett. I'm the manager of market analytics at the ISO. My team's responsible for doing a number of data-based type assessments on our market, so we're involved quite a bit with data. I'm also involved with an initiative at the ISO to advance the ISO's data strategy, and that means basically trying to get more value from the ISO's data, both for internal purposes and also for external market participants to be able to get value. If we could go to the next slide, please. So we're working on a couple of things to try to advance this. And the background on this is we know that as this industry changes and evolves, it is essential for market participants and external stakeholders to be able to access high quality data as easily as possible in order to make the best decisions possible within this market. And so our vision is basically to provide market participants with easier to access and more efficient access to our market and other data. We go to slide 25, please. So specific to that vision, there are a couple of objectives that we think are pertinent to this that we want to do, and they basically involve improving market participant access to our data. So that means providing more data, making the data easier to access, ensuring the highest quality data possible that we can provide, and also making sure that the data is easy to understand so that everybody knows what they're working with and thus can make those informed decisions. We also at the same time want to reduce the need for data requests. We do have a data request process in case folk didn't know, but it's not the most efficient process. And it's our view that a lot of the data that we provide through there could be provided through alternate and easier means. We are looking to incorporate the feedback that we get on our data priorities. So we want to hear from market participants, you'll hear me chat more about this. We want to hear more about what data is helpful, how do you actually want to access it and get it, what do you need to know about it, these kinds of things. And as we go through this and understand what the priorities are and which data we're looking to put out there and what information about data, it is important to remember also that we must respect the confidentiality and commercially sensitive rules and policies that the ISO has. So that's just our play way of trying to say we won't necessarily be able to provide all data, but we are looking to be as open and transparent as we can as we go through this initiative. I think on that note, we can go to slide 26. Thank you. So one of the initiatives that we're working on that Peter has already mentioned, but I'll get into a bit more detail on, is the API project. So we're looking to provide data that you can currently access off the ETS data pages, data reporting pages right now. We know that a lot of market participants frequently scrape that page in order to pull in the data and understand what's going on within our market. And we're looking at trying to provide an alternate means with which to get that data. And that the first step of this is via APIs, basically programmatic interfaces that provide a more secure, more modern method to access the data. We've already got a couple available, and the link at the bottom of the slide here can take you to where you can find those. So there's a couple on the Intertie and a couple on Pool Price right now. And we're looking at doing additional ones. You can see the list there of the planned APIs. These vary in terms of complexity and challenge, so this isn't necessarily an order of exactly which ones will come first, but these are the ones that we've heard a little bit through the grapevine that would be the most useful. However, we are, like I mentioned, looking for additional feedback on what would be helpful for us to provide. There's quite a few different reports within ETS, and those are the ones we want to start with, like I said, to reduce the web scraping, but there may be other data we can provide here as well. And I see here we've gone a question through. So, are there any plans to make it possible to receive Adam's data in real time that could be incorporated into dashboard and alarming screens? From my end, we haven't talked internally thus far about specifically Adam's data being provided like this. Right now, it's the ETS is the focus for APIs. Peter or Mark, I don't know if you wanted to perhaps try to add some additional color to this.
I'll let Peter go first.
Yeah, maybe. I think this is what I was alluding to when I said that we had done some re-architecture to Adams to provide that high availability. We had put in a framework when we did that to be able to provide APIs for accessing the data from Adams as well. The timing will be dependent on need, but we are positioned to start providing that kind of programmatic, almost real-time access to data. similar to what Steve's talking about for ETS.
Murray?
Yeah, just to add there, the guy's got it right. For maybe for a longer term vision, we're looking at, of course, through that data, strategic data initiative we have going that Steve is championing along with Kevin Dawson. We're looking at, you know, the potential of data being available via dashboards, via different types of tools. You know, from an internal perspective, the health of the market, those type of things, all those conversations are you know, being had, I guess, if you would. But we're looking for that input. And, you know, Steve might get into it here through the presentation, but we want to look at data that can be made publicly available in real time versus data that cannot. And I'll let Steve talk more about that. But we're looking at all sorts of things that we can do with data that we can make easily available for the participants in real time and other time windows. So I'll just hand it back to Steve now.
Well, let me jump in there too for a bit.
Sorry, Mark.
We've also, I was talking with the head of our EMS SCADA team too, and we've definitely heard from quite a few participants about the, that they would like to have a way to receive some of the ADAMS directives information over the SCADA interface, because that is eminently easy to incorporate into dashboards and alarming through your existing EMS. It certainly is something that we're excited to get into. It's one of the reasons this user group was brought together, with some of these more, I'm not going to say dramatic changes, but some things that could enable some real efficiency on the user side. We have to look into some of the the security interfaces we have that kind of segregate SCADA and EMS from the market and commercial side. But we've definitely heard all the people who are asking for that ADAMS directives over SCADA, and we're going to be looking into that too. So with that, I'll hand it back to Steve.
Thank you, gentlemen. One other thing that comes to mind with this question as well was there was also a part where, you know, is this already out there, interested in learning more about it? That's another takeaway, I think, for us at the ISO, where we need to make sure that we also make these new tools and systems to access our data and participate as a market user easy to understand and provide the information needed in order to be able to interface with the ISO or pull data or whatever needs to be done. So that's a good reminder on that one as well, to make sure that we ensure that this stuff's as easy to get as possible. Mentioned which APIs there, or you can see the APIs there that we're looking to do. And yes, there is information on our webpage. You can go see which ones we've done. More will be coming along the way. I don't have an exact timeline now, but keep an eye out on that page. You will see more coming in the upcoming weeks and months. We can go to slide 27, please. So the other main project that I think folk will be interested in hearing is our external data pilot project. So at its core, we're looking to develop a new system in order to develop market and other ISO data to market participants. The current approach that we're taking for the pilot is to use the Microsoft Dynamics 365 platform, which will use Azure features and functions and things. We're using this system to build out a portal system for other market participants' interface beyond just the data side of things. And one of the nice things about this is we can control some of the ability for different market participants to access different things. So this may or may not be an avenue to provide customer-specific information as well, or data, but that's something that we can potentially look into as we move forward with this project. Also at its core, we're looking to have this tool to make access to ISO market and other data easier and better at the end of the day. At this point, we're considering it to be a complement to the APIs that we have, and our initial approach to it would actually be to leverage the APIs we're developing that would ensure that they're consistent and accurate and provide the same data to market participants, whether they're getting it from the portal or directly from the APIs. A big upside of this portal over the APIs is not all market participants or external users of ISO data necessarily have the same technical savviness and the ability to leverage those APIs to pull their data. So providing some flexibility to market participants to access the data in different ways. And as part of that, we also want to provide additional features such as visualizations, including charting capability, like being able to explore the data, or geospatial and mapping type abilities. So you can explore on a map type thing to be able to see data at that granularity. These are sort of future wish list type items that we have for this project. So whatever the first iteration looks like, it may not have all of these features out the gate. We are, like I say, working on the first iteration of this. We're not expecting it to be available for full public release until at least next year. However, we are asking ourselves whether it might make sense to engage a user group, a data user group of some kind to test it on, to solicit feedback, see if it's the kind of thing that works, if it makes sense before we take the next step of expanding it out or improving upon it. So that's the kind of information we're looking to get back, or the type of participation we're hoping maybe some market participants or users may be willing to engage with us on. We can go to slide 28, please. Thank you. So with this, we have a number of questions specifically for, well, all of you really. And this is really about getting to this core desire to be able to provide more and better and more efficient access to ISO data. So what data do you want? What would be most useful? There's different opportunities to provide this feedback. Probably be willing to listen a little bit right now, but certainly take advantage of the open text fields within the survey. And we'd also be looking at potentially asking this question more to a more focused survey user group as well. Let's take a pause here. We do have another question came in. Under other data, is the ISO planning to include information or data regarding available transmission capacity? If I were to answer that in one word, I'd say yes. We're looking into providing more information around transmission availability, capability, capacities, these kinds of things. I don't want to go too deep down that path because I'm far enough away from that initiative at the ISO that I don't want to say too much, but that is something we're looking into doing. And additional transmission and even operational type data and information is something that we do want to get into providing more of at some point as well through this portal and through APIs. So that is something there. With the APIs and therefore by extension through the external data portal, at least for the near term, we're looking at providing what is already within ETS. In part, that's related to reducing the web page scraping, but it's also data that we already put out there. Lower risk, just want to make that accessible first. And then when we start getting into providing new types of data, we'll need to go through some data governance and data management type processes to make sure that we can provide it, that we're providing the right information with it, that there's data quality checks on it, and these kinds of things. So some of these other types of data we do plan to provide, it is in the works, just may not be the first data out the gate. So another question we have for everyone is, how do you want to see this stuff? How do you actually want to get it? We're working on the APIs, we're working on the data portal, we're hoping that makes sense as a way to provide it, but there may be other options or alternatives or even specifics within those two that market participants find helpful. So we're looking to get that kind of feedback. And then very importantly, we also want to know, what do you want to know about that data? What would be helpful to understand it better, to make it easier to use or better to use, or to help inform whatever business decisions you have that are going to be based on this data? So looking to try to find out more information about that. And of course, just any other information or thoughts that you might have within this data domain that might be helpful to us or on these initiatives specifically. And then near term, we're looking at potentially providing or starting up a focus group on the data side. We're contemplating focus groups, and a data-based one is one of the first ones that we're contemplating. And so, we do have another question here. Pardon me for one sec. So are you planning on implementing bi-directional functionality in your APIs, such as the registration of energy market offers? For this first iteration of these APIs, the short answer is no, but this is an interesting question that I think we could take back and see what it would take to make that happen. I see Peter's popped up. Please, Peter.
Mark or Steve, you are correct. Initially, we're just providing APIs for accessing information, but there's no reason that we can't use the same technology for participants to send us information as well programmatically from system to system. So it is something that we'll take a look at in the future.
And that is the kind of feedback we're looking for. If that's a desired feature, then yes, please let us know. We have another question here. I'm converting an Excel file that tracks consumption, pool prices, et cetera, calculates the monthly RO rate and generates forecasts and simulations. I'm aware that the ISO is using Tableau to disseminate data. In this regard, my question is, what are your thoughts on integration with ISO systems relative to Power BI versus Tableau? Or are there other applications that should be considered? So my understanding of the technology that we're looking to use to push data out there, it wouldn't necessarily matter. I'm not sure at this point whether one tool over another would have an advantage when it comes to interacting with our data through the means with which we intend to provide data. I do know that there are a number of data users and analysts out there that have a bit of a preference to the Power BI tool because of its ability to stage data more. It's got some more advanced analytical processes built into it. And then from our perspective, the other thing with Power BI, for at least internal purposes, because we are looking at using the Microsoft platform to push out this data, it may be easier for at least us to be using Power BI, but I'm not aware if it's going to be any better for an external user to use Power BI in order to interface with our data and systems. We have another question here for the data portal. Will it be available to all, i.e. not just those that have access to Adams and ETS? Yes, the intent is to make it a public portal system where everyone has the same access. And this gets back into the need for us to be employing proper data governance before we push new data out to make sure that we can, given our confidentiality and commercially sensitive data policies and rules and requirements. So we want to make sure that we are, whatever data we do push out there is appropriate and can be. And the intent of this one is to make it a public portal system. There are, of course, ways like Adams and ETS for market participants to access specific data for themselves. At this stage, we're not looking into trying to achieve that same business function with this external data portal. But that notion that some market participants may want to access their own data or data that would otherwise be confidential to the rest of the market, that is something that has been in the back of our minds as we move forward with this portal project too, that you need to think about whether that's the kind of capability we want to offer as well. Now, thanks for your questions, everyone, by the way. So another question here, what is the best way to communicate new pieces of data we would like the ISO to provide? There's certainly the survey. So if you want to make a list or something, feel free to use one of the open text fields in the survey for that. Trying to think if there's any other easy ways for people to provide that. That might be the quickest, easiest way, because then we have it on record. We can take a look at that. We want to be as open and transparent as possible, of course, but that doesn't mean we can necessarily immediately prioritize any particular list of items either. We need to see what the technical complexities are of providing data. And we also need to make sure we can from a governance perspective. The other opportunity to provide us with feedback on which pieces of data to provide could also be participating within the focus group or the work group that we're looking to set up. So that would be a great way to be able to provide that data. And then we could also understand more of the business driver behind it, which may be able to also help us appropriately prioritize which data to focus on first. Thank you. And we just have a comment here that someone endorsing the idea that bi-directional functionality in the APIs would be desirable. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Got another question here. A lot of your data has hour ending provided, but that makes it more difficult for analytics. Will you be providing an API where it returns proper date times in an unpivoted manner? Well, I'll be honest with you. This is something we have noticed as well with the existing APIs that there is a date column and an hour ending column, and it takes additional downstream processes to be able to convert that into a usable date and hour type format. And so the short answer is yes, we would like to create APIs that have a more conventional time date format, like UTC, for example. So that kind of confirms some of the thoughts we had. Let us take that away. I believe we are working on that and expect to be providing new ones with that format and upgrading past ones as well, I believe, with that too. Thanks for all the questions, everyone. That's great. Any other questions? Well, there'll be more opportunity to pose more questions, and especially through this upcoming data user work group that we're looking to set up. So if more come to mind, you know, please participate. The more information and feedback we can get, the more helpful we can be when it comes to providing this next level data access that we want to do. So please stay tuned for more information on how to participate in those. And with that, I will turn it back over to Mark to continue us along here. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, thanks, Stephen. And thanks everyone for all the excellent questions. What I'm gonna walk us through now is just a few notes on where we're planning to go next. And with that, armed with that information, we'll open it up to a general Q&A if anybody has anything else they would like to ask or anything they want to get into. So first of all, so we're going to post the survey link. It's actually on the website already. Please take advantage of that to let us know if this was valuable, what your concerns are, what your needs are. There's places in there where we're looking for how you want to interact with this user group. There are quite a few of us here at the ISO who came from software vendors in our past lives. So we're all quite used to that closer interaction with the users of our tools. So whether you're looking for live engagements like this, whether you're looking for passive information sharing, website, webinars, that kind of thing, we want to know. So please do take advantage of the survey and let us know what kind of engagement suits your time, your processes, your urgency. We're going to provide the survey results by mid-October. We'll post back everything we've heard from all of you. And then we're going to take that data away and process it through everything that we're currently planning and report back to everyone sometime in mid-November. I decided not to put a specific date there because I don't know how much data we're going to get that we'll have to process. So report back to all of you on what we heard and how we're going to move forward with that. And then by December 10th, we're going to give everyone an update on next steps with respect to this whole user group engagement. We'll take into account all of your feedback on how you want to engage with the user group and come up with a plan for what to expect in 2022 and going forward. So with that, I want to open the floor to whatever questions, ideas, concerns, frustrations you might have. Estimated timing when focus groups would start. Probably next year. I don't know, Stephen, do you have any comment on that? We've talked about the data user group being the first, focus group being the first one. What are your thoughts?
It's a really good question. And I have to admit, I hadn't totally thought this one through. Something perhaps early in the new year might make sense, just given a number of other initiatives and priorities. Is there, you know, if there's any urgency to start one sooner, that would be interesting to hear too. If there is, we could probably make something happen, but otherwise, I'm open to different thoughts. Murray's popped up here too. Murray, any thoughts?
Yeah, one of the things, and Stephen, Mark, they obviously got a great handle on this, but if we want to, and if we need to, by all means, I think we start it as soon as we can. I mean, there's nothing like, we all know how things can get shuffled off to the next month and so forth, but we definitely want to, you know, gauge the momentum from this, but having a working group, a focus group, a deliberate effort would be started this year would be fantastic. So I'm encouraging it.
Mark and I can take that away and see what we can do here. But certainly if there's any feedback on timing or what works for folk who might be interested, we can take that into account, of course, as well. So yeah, let us know. Thank you.
Okay. So you can raise a hand if you want to speak instead, or you can ask anything else in the question and answer box.
So while we're waiting, Mark, maybe I can ask a few questions, and not of Mark and Peter, the guys I usually ask for stuff for. But when we talk about working groups, and of course, the participants are going to actually point us to which ones or what we should focus on. But there's also kind of a greater concern across maybe all the things we do around the security. So is there any interest out there to start a different security focus group out of the current tool sets, or is there more of a kind of a we'll depend on our IT services in our own companies to do that? I'm just trying to gauge the interest in the cybersecurity end of things. So if anyone has any thoughts, please I think you can unmute yourself or how does that work? Right?
They can just put their hand up and then I will prompt them to get unmuted.
Ah, that's how we do it. Okay.
We have questions popped up on ETS. I think this is for you mostly, Stephen. Oh, I guess Stephen and Peter, are we going to keep the existing ETS reports as they are until all the APIs are ready?
That's right. There's no plan to remove or retire or change any of the ETS reporting currently in place. And if we were ever to contemplate something like that, there would be a lot of lead time. Like Peter was saying, you know, we're not looking to shut anything down or make radical changes. There's a lot of sustainment that is also in place as well. So yeah, we're not going to change ETS or remove anything from there without a heck of a lot of prior notice. And there's currently no plan to do that.
We do have one answer to your question there, Murray.
Yeah, I see that. I'm interested in everything. Thanks. So is it Lee? What company are you from, Lee?
He is from Apex Clean Energy.
Okay. I guess. Yeah, the answer reads, but for security now, I throw my SCADA engineer into the mix. I'm just an operations guy. And that's kind of the, you know, from a perspective of what we need to deliver to the market, you know, that security is should be the underpinning given. However, once we do get into the details, it's not so much about usability, it's about security. So having, this group or a focus group based on usability is great. But I love the, we'll throw our SCADA engineer into the mix. That's the right thing to do.
Just going back to the prior question for one moment on the APIs and ETS, another thought did occur to me as part of the answer, which is, we may get into developing new APIs as well, and it would likely be the case that the data provided through those new APIs does not currently exist on ETS. So we may look at provide data beyond the ETS platform to also provide through the API and the external data portal project through the in the future. Thanks.
All right, thanks guys. Anything else? Okay, well, it's been a lot faster than we, here you go.
Sorry, there's another question from Luis Pando from TransAlta in the Q&A.
Mentioned fast frequency response and some market initiatives such as DER and energy storage, long-term market participation and adjustments for load on the margin. Could you expand more about your plans regarding these initiatives? Mr. Barr, that was your slide.
Yeah, it was my slide. It's I'm not sure if I'm the best person to answer this. I'll take a first shot at it. The fast frequency response, it's a new service that we're offering. And from a system perspective, we needed to make some changes to how we do settlement and compliance related to that service. The DER and storage, we are taking a look at those are quite significant, and we've published roadmaps related to energy storage and DER. And so at this time, the changes to our systems are not significant. We've, for example, implemented better identification of the different types of assets that are being utilized in the market systems to segregate storage from wind, et cetera. So that's some of the changes we've made there. There will be some other changes coming, but it'll be driven through the roadmap before we make the changes. The long-term market participant adjustments for load and margin. I know where it's in early days for that one. Steve could probably talk better to what the plan is related to that one, but it'll be a little bit of time before we start making some of our changes to adopt or implement that. Steve, do you want to comment?
Yeah, if I can just quickly jump in. Sorry, Steve, Peter, I think our, we have our, knock on wood, the stability of our market systems and our EMS right now are right where we want it. And we have that ability to integrate very well some of these initiatives, which are, again, dictated through the business planning, through the business roadmaps. So, whether it's, adjustments for the LOM or the load on the margin or longer term energy storage and how that's going to all work, we have that capability right now of integrating some of these newer concepts, pardon me, quicker than we used to. So that's a good shout out to our IT group and Steve and Mark's teams for doing that. So I'll let you answer the specifics there, Steve. I just wanted to bring that up that, our tools are very stable right now. That's our objective longer term. So I'll hand it over to you, Steve.
Yeah. So, these initiatives are being run through some other areas of the ISO, and some of them, like the load on the margin, is in much earlier days, for example. As these initiatives progress, we will continue to monitor them and see what kind of market tool and market data type impacts they may have. And as Peter's kind of saying, we'll continue to evolve the tools and the initiatives that we have in order to make sure that we're able to provide what's needed as they evolve as well. So if you want to keep tabs on those initiatives, it's typically spot within the ISO's webpage or subscribe to the newsletter. And I think there's even, for example, with the energy storage, a specific email that you can write to energystorage@aeso.ca, for example, to get the latest information on where some of these initiatives are at. So, from a data tool side of things, we'll evolve with them, but those are largely being led by other teams within the ISO as well.
Thanks, guys. Anything else on anyone's mind? All right, then. Let's proceed along here. Okay, so thank you all once again for tuning in and attending today. It's really important that we start to include you in the development of these systems and in the interfaces that affect all of your processes and everything you're doing every day. So, Claudia, I believe we have a Zoom poll we want to launch at this point. And there it is. So please take a moment to fill that one out. So back on the main ASO website, we'll have the long form survey posted. So I definitely encourage you all to take a click on that and provide us whatever thoughts come to mind. We definitely want to hear from all of you on what you thought of this and how you want it to move forward.
Yeah, and Mark, I just wanted to add, it is in the survey, but the results will not be anonymous, as we want to make sure we engage with the correct parties and assign comments to everyone. So just keep that in mind when you're typing in your answers.
Thanks, Claudia.
And just so everyone knows, us panelists up here, our speakers can't vote on this, so we can't see the results.
As hard as we try.
I tried. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Well, thank you all again. And with that, we'll just... There's the usual suspects for how to get in touch with the ISO in general. Please, if you have any further questions or outside of the survey, feel free to give us a call. Thanks a lot, and enjoy the rest of your morning.